So next, if we can have Lisa, Jennifer, and Elizabeth, come on up. Come on up. So I feel like I'm on like, what, The Price is Right or what was that? Come on down. Come on down, whatever. So, awesome. Thank y'all so much. So I will just give quick introductions to these folks. So Lisa, here on my immediate left, is the Vice President and Associate General Counsel at Children's Health System in Dallas. And, you know, she's been doing this for a long time. And she oversees the enterprise operations, advising on a whole bunch of different things related to patient care and everything else. Jennifer is going to serve, I think, as the moderator today. And so she is a healthcare attorney at Holland & Knight in their Austin office. And she, you know, does everything related to regulatory, transactional, and administrative health law. Her practice is very similar to mine, so that all sounds very normal to me. And so she represents, you know, the healthcare industry, payers, health plans, and managed care organizations. And then we have a woman I just met last night and thought was just a fabulous person, Elizabeth Rogers. And she is a former chief privacy officer and general counsel at a healthcare company. And she brings a unique and informed in-house perspective to her practice. So we look forward to hearing them today. So take it away, ladies.
Thank you. Thank you. So today we're going to do kind of a case study involving digital health, and I, being the in-house counsel, kind of give that in-house counsel perspective, and then I'll be able to phone my friends this morning to Jennifer and Elizabeth to help kind of from an outside counsel perspective issues that we might face. So we are going to do a lot of issue spotting, because usually when we're trying to do a deal, that is something that is first seen. And then we gave you a list of resources to kind of, as your reference materials. We're not going to spend time on that. We want to try to help you like kind of break down the different issues that are there. And we have a lot to cover. We may not get to everything, but we'll go ahead and kick it off. And so we're going to go through our case study that we have today. And I'm trying to figure out. Yeah, can you get that to work? Here we go.
There we go.
Okay. We'll get it straight. Okay, so what we did is we have Lone Star Hospital. It's a technology advanced hospital in Houston, renowned for emergency care, cancer care, nationally ranked hospital for pediatric diabetic care and clinical research. Lone Star also has an affiliated nonprofit health organization that operates a specialty clinic, Lone Star Specialty Clinic. So our patient that we're going to be talking about today is Naomi Wang. She's a 9-year-old. She went to school and started not feeling good. So she goes to the school nurse at that day. She's complaining that she has blurred vision, she's tired, she's thirsty. The nurse is concerned, calls her parents, and her parents take her to Lone Star Hospital. She comes in through the emergency department, and they determine that they need to admit her to figure out, you know, what is going on. And they do the normal sets of tests that might be needed. And she is then diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. At discharge, she's referred to Lone Star Specialty Clinic for further the care and has a follow-up appointment 2 days later after her discharge. And with that, we will kind of go to Jennifer.
Okay. So she upon arrival at the clinic, she's greeted by a medical assistant, Isabella, and who greets Naomi and her mom and shows them that they that the hospital and the healthcare system has this wonderful app called Diabeat for families to access their healthcare data, speak with members of their healthcare team, connect, and for monitoring of the patient's weight, caloric intake, blood sugar, food intake, and activity level. So this app does it all. It also includes various attachments, like a blood sugar monitor that transfer blood sugar readings so that the healthcare team can see how the patient is doing. It tracks and monitors other relevant healthcare information as well, and that information is published into the patient's EHR. And there's a remote patient monitoring component of this as well. So the first thing we're going to talk about briefly is is this a mobile medical device and does it require registration with the FDA? So the FDA has taken a risk-based approach. We're just going to cover this briefly. We did include a link to the guidance, which has been updated since it was first published. But the FDA basically defines a mobile app as software programs that run on smartphones and other mobile communication devices, and they may have accessories like a blood sugar monitor that are attached to them.